Who's ready to go home already? You know, not me. I want to find more from the Lord. But just as the kids make their way out, just want to maybe, just for us, you know, this morning, we want to be a people that follow the Lord. We want to be a people that God, that's, we don't want to just say, Lord, build your church or come do what you want to do on a Sunday. We actually want to do it. We actually want to go, God, it's yours. Everything is yours. So there were so many words this morning just weaving in. And I want to really encourage us, even as we hear the word of the Lord this morning, open your heart wide and don't miss your moment. Because God does that. He creates these moments for us in our lives where if we respond to Him well, He moves us forward in the things that He has for us. Because He's got a good plan and a purpose for your life. But how we respond in moments that He creates for us is vital. So even this morning, as we were worshiping, there were moments, I think for many of us, even already going, God, my heart is yours. And it's not just lips, it's our hearts. So even as Chris comes up and he shares the word of morning, keep your heart soft. Keep your heart pliable. Let Him mold and shape you. And I want to say, who cares what people think? If you need to respond, respond to the Lord. However that looks. Respond to the Lord this morning because your life matters. You matter. And it's not by chance that you're here this morning. So as Chris comes up, Chris, so amazing having you here this morning. Yes, let's give this man a round of applause. God's already doing so. Whatever you feel, it's yours.
Thanks so much, Byron. So beautiful. Time of worship. I've been crying since I arrived. Well, so good to be here. You know, I just want to say what a joy it is to come to Joshua Generation. Joshua Generation's always really been our big sister church. Back on the Isle of Man, I'm part of the leadership team of Living Hope on the Isle of Man. And we're experiencing a season of God's grace amongst the battles. And it's always so refreshing to come and be here and see so many faces that we know and love. And if we haven't met you yet, we'd love to get to know you. Thank you for receiving us so well. And it just feels like home. You know, it feels like home. And that's what happens when God begins to move amongst the nations. You know, it doesn't matter where we go. We just feel like we're connected because of what God is doing. Carol's my wife here. My travel partner, my rock. She's sacrificed quite a bit for our travels, and we've got 8 grandchildren. We've got 7 with an 8th on the way. I know I look too young for that, but that's what having a good wife does. So we have left them at home. They're doing well, but we want to come with lots of greetings. We've got Connor here, Ewan's son. Or actually, Ewan's your dad, really, Connor, isn't it? That's the way to look upon it. Ewan is Connor's dad. And Connor and I shared a 2-day journey to get here. It was a long journey, eh, Connor? Yeah. Storms, literal storms, got us here, but we persevered. We stayed strong, and we made it to Cape Town, and it's so exciting to be here. I just wanted to maybe begin with a prophetic picture that the Lord kind of was building in me, but it actually relates to the preach as well. You know, I saw some x-ray photos. Is anybody a doctor here? Any doctors here? Good, there's no doctors here. Because I saw these x-rays, and on these x-rays, it was pictures of what surgeons had left inside people's bodies. Have you ever seen that? And it's absolutely amazing. There's like scissors and scalpels and all these things that have accidentally been left inside people's bodies when they're doing surgery. And they're carrying around these implements inside them. And I just felt the Lord wanted to remind us this morning that it's His, what He does is He deposits something of Himself in us. And I was chatting to a lady called Wendy. Is Wendy here somewhere from Sunningdale? Oh, there she is, Wendy. And I felt the Lord, this is for you, Wendy, but it's kind of for everybody. You know, Jesus said when He prayed in John 17, He prayed that we would have His joy said, my joy. Father, I pray they would have my joy. And he also said, Jesus said in another place, he said, my peace I give to you. And sometimes we capture this idea that we need joy, or we need peace, or we need love, but we miss the fact that it's not actually us building up our joy or our peace. It's actually us asking for his joy. And I felt for you today that the Lord wanted to remind you that it's his joy in this season that he's putting inside you. And for those looking for peace, it's his peace that he wants to give you. And I wanted to share today actually about love, and that, well, that prophetic word about unity and love. Can't see the prophet Joe as Joe, eh? And he said in that prophetic word that it was unity and love, right? It was the two-pronged thing. And the title of my message is called Unity in Love. So that's good. Every preacher says the prophetic was so in line with my preach. It was amazing this morning. That's just preaching 101, that is. But I felt encouraged. So I want to share with you today something about unity in love. Is that okay? And the scripture I want to start with is Philippians 2 and verses 1 to 5. And it says this, Paul writes this. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. That's a remarkable verse, isn't it? Because he's saying, I want you to be in full accord, not just partial accord, but having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You see what I mean about that prophetic picture? These things are ours, not in our strength, but in Christ Jesus. And Paul is addressing the whole church here, and he actually refers to himself as a fellow servant of Christ. Therefore, his appeal comes from a place of suffering. But when he uses the word if here, it's not so much a question as more saying, since you have these things. So since in Christ you have these things, then for me, for my sake, would you please be of one mind and one love? You see what I'm saying? It's because these things have been given to us as a church that we should live in them. And I think that's important. Complete my joy by uniting in heart. And Paul actually uses this kind of greeting as his signature through all his letters. It's his recipe for living in the church is this powerful picture of unity, illustrated in the Trinity, but given to us in Christ. So we're all in Christ. We have the power and comfort of God's love, and we share in the Holy Spirit. So we have this encouragement in Christ. We have this love from God, and we have this sharing in the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And so love, and you know, they say, I turned 60 this summer, and we had a wonderful time for my 60th birthday. But one of the things I was told is when you get older, you can go one of two ways. And so if you're on the cusp of the same age as me, bear this in mind, because the wisdom says you can become more grumpy or more gracious. So I'm in this middle ground, and I'm either going to become grumpier and become a grumpy old man or more gracious. So pray for me that I come this side and I become more gracious, because I don't want to be grumpy. I want to be full of grace, because love for one another is an overflow. It's not an action, but it's an overflow of the love of God in our hearts. It's not our love. And over this summer, as I've turned 60, the Lord's been speaking to me about this. And I felt this one scripture has carried me, and the Lord's still dealing with me and helping me understand this. And it's Romans 5 and verse 5. And it says this, "And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And here's the crux of what I would love us to take from this morning, is that if we want to grow in unity and grow in love, the place to start is the very love of God poured into our hearts. That same love comes from being full of the Holy Spirit, actually, because love is a fruit of the Spirit. So if we want to grow in love, and I pray we do want to grow in love, because it's by that that we'll be known to be Jesus, then we've got to allow the Holy Spirit's fruit to fill our hearts. The love of God has to be the thing that is being poured into us. It's a unifying love for God and for others. And it comes from the Spirit, not from our efforts, right? Depending on my own love can't love the way that Paul is asking us to love in the church. My love is just too puny. You know, skiing, this illustration probably works for surfing, but I'm not as confident in surfing as I am in skiing. But when you learn to ski, I learned to ski, and they start you on the baby slopes because it's really important to learn the technique. You've heard of the snowplow. It doesn't look that gracious, to be honest, or that elegant. But you have to learn, first of all, to snowplow down the slopes. And they teach you the technique of skiing. So you learn the techniques, and the techniques are important, because if without the technique, you're going to crash. And actually, when they taught me, basically what happened was it was an ever-decreasing side to side, to the point that I realized I was just heading straight downhill, and the only way I was going to stop was a crash. So because I didn't have technique, I was heading for a crash, and I guess the same's true for surfing. But the point about skiing is, if I learn all the technique and I stood at the bottom of a hill, I'm not going anywhere. I can have all the technique, but literally it's worthless. The thing that makes your skiing fun and exciting and actually brings your technique into bearing that it matters is the slope, right? Without a slope, all the technique in the world makes no difference. And I guess in surfing, without a wave, you can stand on the sand and you can be the best surfer in the world, but you're just not going anywhere. It's the wave that matters. And you know, that's what it's like in the Christian life and in the church. We can have all the techniques and disciplines and learn those and learn how to read the Bible and learn how to behave in meetings. But if we don't have the Spirit, there's no momentum. And that's what it's like in skiing. It's the slope that makes it fun. It's the slope that makes it exciting. It's the slope that carries us. And in the church, it's the Spirit that gives us momentum. The Holy Spirit. And so with this picture of unity and love, I can tell you all the techniques about how to love each other, how to speak to each other. But the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to give us the power and the unity and the momentum for growing in his love, right? And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 13, "I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will bless you and be kind to you. May God bless you with his love, and may the Holy Spirit join all your hearts together." Think about the favorite scripture of weddings. Who's been to a wedding where they haven't read 1 Corinthians 13? Every wedding needs 1 Corinthians 13. But just think about that passage and what it actually says. It says things like, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast, it's not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it's never irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with truth. How about this? Love bears all things. believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. This is a nonsensical love, isn't it? This isn't an irrational, unhuman love. I cannot love you no matter how hard I try, the way 1 Corinthians 13 says I should. How can my puny human love always trust, always endure, always bear? My only hope of loving you this way and you loving me this way is if I am full of God's love, full of the Holy Spirit, full of a love that will bear all things. That actually Paul writes elsewhere, he says, cover over all these things with love, forgiving easily. This is not a human love, friends. This is not a love that is grown by me going, I'm going to love Connor more. It's really hard, Lord. But if I'm full of the Spirit, I can love him. And he can love me. And there's a unity and a same love. Nonsensical love, but it's possible. How does that love unite us? We have a young lady in our congregation, and she's had a tough time, a very tough time. She's a single mum with two children, and her life has been very up and down. And she came to our congregation, and we've known her in the past. And you kind of fear that there's a cycle happening. But then one day in our meeting, we had a moment, a bit like Byron was leading us this morning, and we just opened up to an encounter with God's Holy Spirit. No real agenda, just let's meet with God. If you want to encounter the power of God's Holy Spirit, then just like Byron said, open yourself up this morning, or it's in the evening, open yourself up this evening. And at the end of that meeting, this young lady, she's quite shy, she came to me and she said, Chris, I just want to let you know, I had my encounter tonight. Now, she's been in church a long time. And that's all she said, I had my encounter. But since that moment, she's been completely transformed. Every bit of discipling we've done had helped. But when she encountered the Holy Spirit, now she's sending me messages saying, how can I help the church? I want to give more of my time to the church. How can I be the point person for the visit of Tommy and Brenda from Firebrand Church when they're coming? And she's just on fire for God. Not because I preached an amazing message, but because she encountered the power of the Holy Spirit. And for you and I today, right now, this is available. This is not a one-time offer. This is what Paul is writing to us about. You and I can have that same encounter. That means we can love deeper. We can be closer in unity. We need all the disciplines. If I'm not learning how to ski, I'm going to hurt myself. But if I just have the disciplines without the slope, it's useless. It's pointless. How can we put this into practice? Well, I just have a couple of ways this morning that I think we can allow this type of love to grow in us. Are you ready to ski? Well, first of all, we must be united in our love for God. Jesus said, and he said it as first priority, Matthew 22, 36 to 38, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So if unity is our goal, a deeper unity, a stronger unity, the same love, the same mind, the same purpose, then first of all, we need our first love for Jesus to be truly burning. Because if my first love is not burning in my life, my influence on you is going to be cold or tired. If our love for Jesus gets tired, we rob the church of the full blessing and power of the presence of God. But a fired up first love for Jesus changes everything. Just like that young lady in our congregation. I read this written by Alan Redpath. You may know him. He's an author. He said this. He said, "No child of God can grow cold in his spiritual life without lowering the temperature of everybody else around him." No child of God can grow cold in their love for Jesus Christ, in their spiritual life, without lowering the temperature of everybody around them. It's powerful, isn't it? In the Welsh revival, I needed to tell just one revival story, sorry. After the last time I was here, yeah. In the Welsh revival in February 1904, there was a pastor, and he was called Joseph Jenkins. And he was praying for something to happen, and he stood up in the prayer meeting on this Sunday morning in February 1904, and it was a dry kind of meeting. So he thought, I need to ask for personal testimonies. So he said, has someone got a personal testimony of what's happening in their lives around Jesus Christ? And he was met with every pastor's nightmare, prolonged silence. And then eventually this young girl, her name was Florrie Evans. She was actually in the youth. So if you're in the youth, bear in mind, you can change the temperature. And she stood up and she rose to her feet and she was really nervous and she spoke with a soft and voice trembling. And she said this, "I love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart." That's all she said. "I love you, Lord Jesus, with all my heart," as she trembled there. And there was a journalist in that meeting by the name of W.T. Stead. And he wrote after, he said this, "The pathos and the passion of the avowal of that young girl acted like an electric shock upon the congregation. One after another, they rose and made the full surrender. And the news spread like wildfire from place to place that the revival had broken out and that souls were being ingathered to the Lord." And it's believed that Florrie's simple, heartfelt declaration of love for Jesus ignited the Welsh revival when hundreds of thousands of people came to Christ. Now, we don't run after revivals and history and stuff like that. But what it is an illustration of is if one girl's passion for Christ can spark something so powerful, what can you and I in our individual life spark if our passion for Jesus is burning on fire? If it can't be contained. The point is yours and mine, zealous love for Jesus, can be a spark. And how does that look? Well, you know, it starts in Hebrews 10 verse 24. It says this, "And let us consider one another. Let us think about this unity, one another, to provoke unto love and good works." So the way we love Jesus is not just about me and him. It's a provocation. It's a provoking of one another. So when I come to worship, or the prayer meeting, if I am loving Jesus with fire and I'm burning with a fresh spirit-fueled love, now I'm a provoker. I'm not just an attender, but I'm a provoker. And I want to be the type of person that those around me, when I worship, I'm not lowering their spiritual temperature. I'm provoking them to more in Christ. I'm 60 with a dodgy back and aching hips. But honestly, you will not see me worshiping coldly. And there are those older than me that out-worship me all the time. And those younger. And they're doing it for each other. So I'm challenged by God to worship not just for myself, and to give glory to God, obviously that's part of it. But to provoke everyone around me I touch, right? That's why, you know, in our churches and those churches that we partner with, we worship with passion. Is this making sense? You know, I may dance like a white man, but as someone from another church famously said to me, "You actually dance like a black man." You know, that takes work. It doesn't just happen. But responding to the love of God can't be half-hearted. We just can't afford it to be, because we're ministering to Jesus and we're ministering to one another. My pursuit of Jesus can't be half-hearted. I've got to love his word. I've got to love his presence. I've actually got to love my wife in a provoking way to others. And the way I can do this is to be spirit-fueled. To come on a Sunday morning, not just out of bed or having read a quick scripture, but fueled by the Holy Spirit, because I know that I'm going to provoke those around me to love Jesus more. Amen. Never be lacking in zeal. I read recently, you can love Jesus on cruise control. You know, if you have who has a car with cruise control? Yeah. Cruise control's great because you can set it at the speed limit and just relax. And you're just going at cruise control. And you're just going steady at that speed. And that's how we can be in church. We can be on cruise control. We'll just take the middle ground. You know, we'll look at the average Christian. And if I'm around that, I'm okay. And just cruising. But we actually should be driving like a racing driver. Like Connor's dad. Well, we saw these motorized wheelchairs in Istanbul airport. And there was one lady in this motorized wheelchair, and the guy from the airport was driving it. And as he turned the corner, we saw the lady's face, and she was like, because he was flinging that thing around. We're racing drivers for Jesus. We go over the top. And it's only the love of God that is going to enable us to do this. We need to be firing each other up to become one. Think about the disciples. The disciples were a bunch of people that weren't that obviously united. And even right up to the end, when Jesus went to the cross, they were still getting it wrong. And even just after, they were still getting it wrong. Jesus says, "Now the time. You're going to come back and you're going to restore Israel." It was only when the Holy Spirit came that they suddenly became this united force that changed the world. And I pray that even this morning we'll open our hearts to receive the love of God and the power of the Holy Spirit so we can become a united force. And then lastly, you know, if we're united in love for God, we need to be united in our love for the church. For his church. In this passage that I started with in Philippians 2, 3 to 4, Paul listed the killers of unity: selfish ambition, desire for personal prestige, concentration on self, which means eliminating others. These are the unity killers that he's listing us. But then in 1 John 4, have I got those verses? 1 John 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." And it goes on to say in verse 20, "For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." If we can't love our brother and sister, then we can't have the love of God in us. And I love the story that Jerome, the early Christian writer, he writes this in his commentary on the book of Galatians. He describes the Apostle John, who was even older than me. And they used to carry John in his latter years, after everything he'd been through. Remember, this is the disciple who'd lent on Jesus, was known as the disciple of love. That was his. And they used to bring him forward in a chair, because he couldn't walk that well, and carry him to the front of the meeting and ask him, "Why don't you say something to us, Father?" And he would say, little children, love one another. And then he would say this time after time after time, until eventually they said to him, Master, why do you always say this? It's so annoying. They didn't say that. That was the in brackets paraphrase. It is the Lord's command, he said, and if this alone be done, it is enough. So the very disciple who had known and been known and loved by Jesus, his command to the church was love one another. A new command he gave us. Love one another. And Jesus himself is the example. John 13:34 to 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, it's a high standard. It's a high standard of loving, this is. And if it was down to me, my me-centered agendas would destroy the church. But we must know the true love of God by inviting it to course through us by his Spirit. And how do we love the church? How can we love the church that in a way that provokes one another to love? What are the things that are going to provoke each other with the love of God to grow deeper in the love of Jesus' church? Because you can't love Jesus and not love his church. You know, when you hear that, when someone says, I love Jesus, but I just can't love the church, it's a lie. It's a lie from the pit that we can love him and not love the thing that he gave his life for. Zeal for my house consumes him, they remembered. And one simple way we can do it is prioritizing the church. When the church is together, I'm going to prioritize being with the church. That's how I can provoke. Every pastor is concerned with who's not there rather than consumed who is there to begin with. I was recently in Dublin with Tommy and Brenda, and they are inside the lives of the most broken people, but they know them. They know them. They know their background. They know their family because they're in their lives. And I don't think it's possible to love with the depth of unity just meeting on Sundays. I can't love you unless I know something about you and something about what you're going through. And I think it was Moody, D.L. Moody, said church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. Being part of the church is as vital as a transfusion of blood. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Community groups. But it's more than just meetings. Love hangs out. Love hangs out. Hanging out together. Getting to know each other. It's part of loving deeply. Being concerned about others. Being concerned not just about our function. You know, it's no good me saying, oh, Byron, he's an elder. And Leanne, she's an elder's wife. And so-and-so is a deacon. And so-and-so leads the children's ministry. That's their function. But I'm not loving them if I'm identifying them by their function. I need to understand. I need to be in their lives. What's paining you? What's giving you joy? Can I celebrate with you? I had a lovely story yesterday. One of the guys in our congregation who's not been a Christian long, and he WhatsApped me this morning because we have Jonathan Conrath with us at the moment. Many of you will know Jonathan. And he has a guy with him called Louis from Argentina. And this young man who was a drug addict, probably less than a year ago, maybe, or 2 years ago, in trouble with the police, has now come into our church with his girlfriend. They got married on the Saturday, baptized on the Sunday. And he's so keen. But yesterday he messaged me. He said, oh, this guy, he said to me, I really have to fully forgive my father. I've had two dads in my life. And he told me that I needed to fully forgive. So I prayed and I completely forgave him. I took any offense and I gave it to Jesus and forgave my dad. And then the Holy Spirit told me to go into the center of town. And the center of town is a couple of miles away from where he lives. And he went into town, and who should he meet? His father. And he went up to his father and he hugged him. And he whispered in his ear, "I forgive you, Dad. I forgive you." And he said his dad just bubbled up with tears in that moment. That's submission. That's love. That's being inside people's lives. Not allowing that little bit of unforgiveness to rob us of the blessing that comes from total unity. Never allowing offense to fester and grow in our hearts, but instead bringing it before the Lord and letting the Spirit deal with it and having those incredible testimonies of what God does when we obey Him. Caring for the person, not just their function. And I am coming into land now, and I want us to begin to ask, you know, are you ready to ask the Holy Spirit to come and consume you with the love of God? In a way that's going to transform us into such a depth of unity that these things are going to be happening all over. It's a journey, but I feel like the Lord has challenged me, Chris, you've got to go deeper into this. You've got to stop trying to ski by technique. Get the technique in place, but allow me to carry the momentum of your life and your church. Because a commanded blessing comes. It was Billy Graham, actually, who said, "Tears shed for self are tears of weakness, but tears shed for others are a sign of strength." Are we honoring each other, speaking well of one another, treating others as more important, commanded blessing, and then the power comes? Perhaps just two stories, and then we'll pray. The first was, we had a young lady come to Christ in the last 6 or 7 months. And she came to one of our gatherings, we call them one. And she was invited to church. She'd been being invited for over a year, right, Carol? Over a year by someone in the church. But she hadn't come, she hadn't made it. And then she came on this Sunday and she gave her life to Christ. And she's been really growing, and she's been hosting our community group. We all went around her house, and it was absolutely wonderful. She's been baptized. She's come into membership, and she's really growing. And we asked her, was it in the community group we had that conversation? Oh, about, anyway, side conversation with my wife, just making sure I tell the story accurately, you know, it's important. And we asked her, why did you give your life to Christ? And she said, well, I came into that meeting. Remember, this is a meeting of 600-800 people, whatever it was. And she said, I'd never seen people loving one another in that way. In all my life, I'd never seen that love. Now, I don't think any leader spoke to her. She just saw how people were caring and loving for one another. And it's continued. And now she's giving her heart to us. And we're giving ourselves to her because of the power of love and unity. Because where there is unity, there is commanded blessing. The Lord will bless what looks like his son. And there's such perfect unity in the Trinity that he blesses it. When we are loving each other in a spirit-fueled way, then we're all carried on that ski slope. Becomes team skiing, not individual skiing. In 1 Peter 3 verse 9, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. Love selflessly, and we will see a blessing. And does this matter? I was going to share that story that Monet, is it okay if I share that story about Mossel Bay that you told me about love and Brad's feedback? Yeah. I've told it before with Monet's permission, but as he's here, I thought I'd better get it again. But Monet told me, actually I think he preached it, story about how Brad came to Mossel Bay. Brad Verena, many of you will know. And at the end of the weekend, Monet said to him, what do you see? And Brad's feedback was, do you know what? I see things that I could learn from. There's such amazing organization and the church is functioning so well. But there's just this one small thing, which is, I think you perhaps need to see more love for one another, right? And that unlocked a blessing. That unlocked a blessing. And I think in our context and in the context of Living Hope and all our churches, if we can just learn to be carried by the Spirit's momentum in loving one another, we are going to unlock something over us. And that's my prayer for us today. Perhaps, Hannes, you could join me. Listen to this, Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Will we put on love and bind us under God's blessing? Maybe just close your eyes for a minute. How's your relationship with the Lord this morning? Are you Florrie Evans? Could you stand up and testify, I love you, Lord Jesus, with all of my heart this morning? With a love that provokes others, a love for Jesus that provokes others. Maybe this morning you've never even given your heart to the Lord Jesus. You've never even encountered this type of love for the first time. You're thinking, I don't know what this guy's talking about. I've never been loved that way. I've never loved anyone that way, that selflessly, that a man would come and die on a cross to take every sin that I've ever committed on himself. The Bible teaches us that God shows his love for us like this, that before we even knew him, before, while we were sinners, he sent his son to die on a cross. While we were his enemies. Maybe this morning you've never received that type of love that washes away all the things we've done wrong in our lives and changes our compass to live for Jesus. Or you've drifted to a place where it feels like a distant relationship, a dry, striving relationship. Well, this morning that love is reaching out. The kind of selfless love that can be poured into our hearts is reaching out. And with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want to start by asking that. Would you like to know that kind of love in Jesus Christ this morning? Or would you like to return to that love in Jesus Christ this morning? And perhaps you could just raise a hand for me right now, and we'll pray for you. We'll pray. I can see that hand at the back. Thank you. Is there anyone else today? I see that second hand as well. Thank you. Is there anyone else today who wants to receive that type of love from Jesus Christ this morning? Thank you. Thank you, you two as well. That's four people that have opened their... There's a young guy at the back there as well. Thank you. And maybe we can all say this prayer together and we'll join with these folks. And for those folks that have responded, then if you could just mean this in your heart, the Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So maybe just repeat this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for me. Thank you that you love me so much, that you took upon yourself the punishment for all the things that I did wrong and all the things I will do wrong. And today I want to respond to that love and give my heart to you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior today. And I choose to live for you for all the days of my life, that I might know you and be known by you forever. And I now invite you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and to make me yours. Amen. Can we give those people a round of applause? And if you were one of those people who responded, please can I ask you to come and make yourself known to Byron and the leaders so they can just connect you. Because as I said, you can't love Jesus and then not love his church. You need to be part of the family of God. And then, have we got just a minute more? Yeah. I'd love us all to respond now, because as I said before, I feel like there is a touch of the Spirit, an encounter of the Spirit to invite his love to fill our hearts. So if you want to have that encounter with the Spirit, you know, no matter how long you've been a Christian, I've been a Christian a heck of a long time, but this summer I had to get down on my knees. I actually opened up my prayer journal this morning in bed and I read the four prayers that I'd written for my life. And one of them was, Lord, give me your love. Give me your love so I can see others through your eyes. If you would like that, perhaps you could stand with me now. And as Byron has said, open your hands. And we can just maybe worship to this one song just for a couple of minutes. And as we worship, open your hearts to the encounter. It doesn't have to be my prayer. It can be your prayer. So let's just open our hands and pray together.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one. Our hearts adore. Jesus. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love the one hearts adore.
I wonder if we can just have the voices to sing this. Hannes can lead us.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
Let's lift it up as a love song and a prayer.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore.
You know, in this moment, I just feel as we've got just a few more minutes, perhaps we can respond to Jesus. Maybe just tie together everything that has been said this morning by the Spirit. If we want to pull out those thorns that have been in our lives, in our hearts. We were told yesterday a story of a young girl who stepped on a thorn. And there was no moving past that moment until that thorn was safely out. And I feel today that there may be some of us that have got thorns that are either paining us or have been with us a long time. And God is inviting us this morning to come and be prayed over and to have that thorn taken out and removed so that we can heal fully. And I feel like the other thing is there is just a flow of God's love for us this morning. Such a flow of the love of God that can have, like that young lady in our church, an encounter that can transform a life in a way that trying hard just can't. And even if our first love has been okay, we don't want to be a pilot light, we want to be a burning flame. So as we continue to worship to this song, as Hannes leads us, if you are being stirred by anything like that or anything that has happened today and just want to be ministered to, I'm going to allow, I'll check with Byron, to just come forward. Just come and be at the front, and people will be here, I'm sure, to pray and to pray over us, to lay hands on us, as the Bible says. And let's just allow, in a moment, as Byron said, Jesus' love, the love of God, to be poured into our hearts so that we can love in a different way, His way. Just as we worship, then feel free to come forward, and there'll be folks here to pray. Let's just worship Jesus.
Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one.
Just come
our
out.
Hearts adore.
If God's talking to you, don't worry what anybody's thinking. Come out. Come stand in the front here.
Jesus,
be some leaders to pray.
Jesus, we love you.
worship the Lord together. I want to invite all of us. Let's just end. We're going to end with some songs. It's not, we've got enough time. But let's come out as a family and let's just lift our voices, worship the Lord. If you need prayer, touch someone on this side of you. Say, please pray for me. I want more of the love of God. But let's end this morning just with a thanksgiving. And again, this, knowing Him is better than anything else in life. So let's lift our voices to bring worship to the Lord.
Yeah. we lift you up, Son of God, be glorified. We adore you, Jesus, and we lift you up.
Jesus, we love you. Everything in our hearts, everything in our lives are yours, God. You are our God and we are your people, Lord. You are our God and we are your people, God. We are yours, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen, amen. We're going to close the service there. Thank you for coming out. Those of you that visited us this morning, we loved having you with us. Please make sure to connect. Grab a coffee at the back. You don't have to rush home. But connect with us. Some of us might stay a bit in worship, which is fine. But thank you. Enjoy the. We'll see you in the week at 4:12 and at the gathering on Sunday. Amen. Bless you guys. Amen. For the parents, remember to get your kids at Kids Church.